Heavenly Father, what a beautiful day you've given us to come and worship before you this morning. We thank you for the promise of your presence, and we claim that promise this morning. We come trusting in the merits of Jesus, because we have no right of our own to come into your presence. But we thank you for his merits, and in him, we trust that our worship and our gifts and our praises will be acceptable. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is in Ephesians 5, 32 and 33. Ephesians 5, verse 32 and 33. I'll wait a minute. I hear pages turning, so I'll wait. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
How are you this morning? Good. How many of you have a mommy that loves you? Wow. How many of you have a daddy that loves you? Wow. Well, that wasn't always the case for little Katya. If you'll remember, a couple of years ago, I told you a little bit about Katya. Well, I'll just refresh your memory just a little bit, and then we'll go on with our story. It was in April, and it was still kind of crisp outside. It was in Michigan, and it was early morning. It was time for the children to go to school. Dad had already gone out to the car and was waiting for the three children to come out so he could take them to school. The first child, Kristen, she had all of her things together. She had her report ready, and she had her backpack on her back. Bye, Mom. Bye. Mom came over, and she gave her a hug and said, have a good day at school today, Kristen. And she said, okay, Mom. Bye. And out the door she went from the kitchen, down the stairs in the garage, out to the driveway, and she got in the car. The next one was standing there, and Mom put her arms around Jack and said, Jack, you be a good boy today and have lots of fun at school, okay? Don't forget your memory verse. Oh, I won't, Mom. I remember it. Okay. And so he gave Mom a hug and a kiss, out the kitchen door, down the stairs in the garage, and out to the driveway and got in the car. The next little girl that was in line, her name was Katya. And Mom put her arms around Katya and she says, Katya, I love you. Honey, I want you to remember what I told you last night. Remember? Yes, Mom, yes. Okay, Katya, look at Mama. So Katya looks at her and she goes, Katya, no rolling on the floor in school. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Katya, no hissing at school. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Katya, don't hiss at the teacher, and no growling. Yeah, yeah, Mom. Okay, okay. Katya, don't forget. Oh, I won't. And no hitting. No, no, no. Oh, no hitting. And Katya, no shaking your booty in front of class today. Okay, Mom, no shaking my booty. Poor little Katya, she was having a hard time learning how to behave in school. Mom gave her a kiss, and out the door she went, down the stairs of the garage, and out into the car. This was a new life for Katya. Katya had just come to America just for a few weeks ago. She had always lived in Russia, and she didn't have a mama or a daddy that loved her. In fact, when Katya was born, she was in the hospital, and she didn't leave the hospital until she was about 11 months old. She stayed in the hospital, and the nurses took care of her. Then, when she turned about 11 months old, Katya was moved to a Dietzi Dom. That's a children's home, and it was a children's home for babies. And she stayed there until she was 3 years old, till they moved her to another orphanage. And this one was called Dietzi Dom 44. And that's where she was when my daughter and her husband went to Russia to adopt this little girl. Katia had learned to be very independent, and she had to take care of herself. She was in a little room, and they called it Grupa. There were 12 children in this little Grupa. Now, this big house housed lots and lots of children that didn't have parents. This little Grupa that she was in, there were 12 children. There was one room that was a bedroom. There were 12 little beds right next to each other. Then there was another little room, and it had toys in it, very few toys, and they were all shared. The clothes that they wore, they all had to share. None of them were theirs. They were washed, and then they were put on them, and that they didn't have anything that was theirs. When they ate their food, they ate at little tables in their playroom. They would bring their food to them, and they would sit there and eat. Now, they had four meals a day. They had breakfast, and then they had first lunch, second lunch, and supper. Now, between first lunch and second lunch, the children had to take a nap. And then after their second lunch, all of the kids had to go outside to play. However, outside in the playground, there was absolutely nothing. It was complete cement. There were no toys or anything, but the children had to go out there. It didn't matter if it was a blizzard, cold, snow, or whatever. They would just bundle them all up where they could hardly walk because they had so many clothes on, but they had to go outside and play and get some fresh air. Well, Katya, she learned that if she wanted something, that if she just hit somebody and knocked them down, she could take that toy away from them. And she defended herself a lot in this little place. Well, self-defense was her way of life. It wasn't too long after she had been in the second Jitsi Dome that she was approached by a family that was talking to her to see if they could adopt her. Well, she thought, I think a family might be nice. I've heard about families. So Katya thought that was a good idea, and she was all excited about her new family. Soon the family there from Russia came to pick up Katya, and they took her to their home. But things didn't work out very well. She was only there a short time, and the parents couldn't handle Katya. They packed Katya back up in the car, and they drove back to the orphanage, and they brought her in. And they said, we're sorry, but Katya just doesn't fit into our home, and we're bringing her back here. Poor Katya. You know she was crying inside, but outside she was a tough little girl. And she said, I don't need a family. I don't even want a family. I'm going to live in the orphanage my whole life. I like it here. And she was determined that she would never let a family adopt her again because they didn't really mean what they told her. Why, if she didn't behave or she did something they didn't like, they'd just take her right back to the orphanage. And she just decided in her mind she was just going to stay in the orphanage and live there the rest of her life. Well, about a year later, my daughter and her husband decided that they wanted to get another little girl. They had one of their own little girls, and they had two little boys, but they thought, wouldn't it be nice to have another little girl in our family and make our family complete? And they decided that they would try and adopt a little girl from Russia, someone that didn't have a home, and someone that was a little bit older that might not be adopted. So they contacted an agency, and sure enough, they sent them several pictures of little children that were available for adoption, and they picked out Katya. Well, when they contacted them and they had to go over there and meet her, they were so excited about it. And when they got over there to Russia, they were taken into a room, to an office, and the director said, well, now we don't want you to get too excited. Katya has told us she doesn't want a family. What? My daughter and son-in-law couldn't believe it. What? Katya doesn't want a family? No, she says she doesn't want a family, and she wants to live in the orphanage forever. She likes it here. Oh, they were so disappointed. They said, but we're going to let her go out with you and spend time with you, but we just want you to know that she may not want you to be her family. Well, they spent a whole week with Katya, taking her places and having lots of fun, and Katya warmed up to them really well. And then before they knew it, they had to leave, and they had to tell Katya bye. Katya actually had little tears starting to come out her eyes. And they told her, "We'll come back, Katya. We'll come back. In a month, we'll come back." She turned around and walked away. And as she was walking, she stopped and she turned around and she waved. Oh, my daughter and my son-in-law, they started crying. Oh, they were so upset. Well, when they went home, they got a hold of all of the agencies and they started the adoption process. It would take a month to get the court date and to get everything ready. Soon the time had gone by and they flew back over to Russia. They went to court and the judge granted the adoption. They were so excited. But then they had to make sure that Katya was willing to have a family. So Katya was taken into the doctor's office because they had to check her out and make sure she was healthy. And when she was in there, the doctor said, "Katya, you've told us that you don't want a family, that you want to live in the orphanage forever. But you know the new mama and papa that came here?" She goes, "Uh-huh. They want you to come with them and live in America and be their little girl. Will you do that?" And she said, "Well," she says, "so you're telling me that they want to be my parents?" And the doctor said, "Yes, they want to be your parents, to love you forever." And she says, "Those parents I'll take." And the doctor said, "Are you sure?" And she goes, "I'm sure I'll take those parents." So Katya got to spend some time with them. After they had gone to court, they spent several days. But then in Russia, you have to wait 3 weeks, 21 days, before you can remove the child from Russia to leave the country. So they told her that they had to leave. But Katya didn't understand. She thought they were going to be her parents forever, and now they were leaving again. So they had to try to explain to her, but it was really difficult because they only spoke English and Katya only spoke Russian. So they had a translator there that told her that they have to wait for 3 weeks, but Mama's going to come back. Daddy won't come back. He's going to stay with your new sister and two brothers, but Mama will come back and get you in 3 weeks. And Mama gave her a chart with 21 days on it. And little Katya would mark off each day as the day came when she'd get up. And she knew it was getting closer and closer. Soon Mama came back, just like she promised, and she picked up Katya. They had to spend about 2 weeks over there together. They had to get her passport, and they had to get a lot of paperwork taken care of. And soon they were on the airplane, and they flew over here to America. And when Katya stepped off of that airplane, she was a little American, and she was so happy. But when she spoke, no one could understand her because she spoke Russian. So many of the conversations that she had with her mama and daddy and her brothers and her sister were done in pantomimes. Can you imagine that? No hitting. That's what you had to say. But today, Katya knows English perfect, and Katya is doing so much better in school. Why, Katya doesn't get in near as much trouble. She still has a little bit of trouble, and their parents still get called from the principal several times a week. But she's not hissing and growling and rolling around in the floor. And she's not hitting as much, and she's being a much better little girl. And do you know that her mama and daddy have loved her, and they still love her, and she knows that they love her. When they adopted her, they changed her name to Katarina Celine Proctor. That was her new name, and she loves her new name, but she likes to be called Katya. She just thinks that's a really special name. You know, boys and girls, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to change our names. And they will be better names than we even have today. And your mom and dad picked out a special name for each one of you. But the name that Jesus has picked out for you, you'll like even better than Trevor. Can you even imagine that, Trevor? A name that you'd like better than Trevor, or what's that other name you liked? Did you forget? Heron. Oh, we changed it to Aaron now. Okay. Well, you'll have a whole new name that you'll like better than any of those names you've come up with. Sierra? Well, we'll see what it will be. But you know, boys and girls, Rachel and Derek, Katya's new mama and papa, they told her and they promised her that they would be her mama and daddy forever. Naughty or nice, they were going to love her forever. And Katya knows that her mama and daddy love her, and she knows that they're never going to take her back to Russia. And when we make a promise, are we supposed to keep a promise? Yes, we are. And we keep a commitment. Today we're going to have a baptism, and these people have committed their lives to Jesus. They've promised that they're going to serve him and follow him the rest of their life. It's a very special day for them. And don't you think that Jesus is smiling and really happy that they have made a promise to him that they're going to follow him for the rest of their life? Let's be sure that we study, and that when we make that commitment to be baptized, that we will serve Jesus and we'll keep our promise. Just like Katya's mom and dad kept their promise about always being her mommy and daddy, and they never send her back to Russia, that she'll always be their little girl, even if she's naughty or nice.
The song I'm about to do is one Christ Eyes was fortunate enough to record. We were very blessed. It was by a man who contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion. As upset as he could have been at the world and at God, instead he chose to sit down and write this song at the piano. God from heaven came down to earth in Christ the only child. He came with love and healing in his hands, even though he lived his life in harmony and gave himself to set them free. They could not understand the love within this man called Jesus. If there'd been hate, would they still have killed him? If there were bitterness, would he still have died? If they'd found weakness, would they still have nailed him to that tree? There was no fault in him, for he would set them free. And still today the hope rings clear for every human heart. If only we would let the Savior in, he will come and free us from iniquities and heal the broken hearts. I cannot fully understand the love within this man called Jesus. If there'd been hate, would they still have killed him? If there were bitterness, would he still have died? If they'd found weakness, would they still have nailed him to that tree? There was no fault in him. There was no fault in him. There was
was no fault in him, for he would set us free. Amen.
When I was a young boy, we went over to the coast, and do you kids like to go to the beach? Yeah? Do you ever dig a hole and have somebody bury you in the sand? No? Well, we'd dig a hole and somebody'd lay down and we'd cover them up. You want to be careful, though, that you didn't get your hands down too deep, because sometimes it was hard to get them out. If they buried you too deep, you had to have help getting out. You know, today we're going to talk about burying. We have some people we're going to bury today. We go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into what? His death. So the baptism is the memorial of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's a symbol that we died with him. That we have died to our own self-will and our own self-centeredness. Because when we're born, what are we born with? Self-centeredness. You know, all you have to do is watch a little baby, and it comes out fairly visible. And in the story of Katya, you know, when she was in the orphanage, that was her way of life. I think she was more than self-defensive, though. Sometimes she was aggressive. But all of that has to go, doesn't it? When we die to sin, when we die to self, we now follow Jesus instead of following our own desires. That's why it says, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Paul is saying, you know, if the more we sin, the more grace, right? So the people were saying, well, then we ought to go on sinning so that there'll be more grace. Paul says, no, if we've died, we don't keep on sinning. We die to that. We die to the self-centeredness, to the self-desires, and the demand for self. We were therefore, verse 4, therefore buried with Christ, or with him, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live the old life again? A new life. So all of the trappings and all of the things of the sinful life, of the self-centeredness, of the desires of the flesh, get set aside or at least kept in the control that Jesus has given us. Is there anything wrong with eating apples? But what if we eat too many apples? So the good things need to be kept in check, right? And the bad things need to be eliminated. Who decides what's good and what's bad? People ever say, well, you know, that won't hurt you. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live the old life. I repeated for emphasis. We want to... An illustration that I shared with the group in the baptismal class. We're born with the old nature, right? And when we give our life to Jesus, he gives us a new nature, right? But what happens to the old nature? Supposedly it's dead, right? And in baptism, we symbolically bury it. So we've got the old nature in the casket. And every now and again, we like to lift the lid and sneak him a sandwich to keep him alive. Or a little drink. Something to keep that old nature still going. We too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, whose death? His death. So when he died, who else died? We did. When did he die? 2,000 years ago? But we're born recently with, some of us more recently than others, with a fallen nature. But by faith, when Christ died, we died. It only happens by faith. But if we keep trying to feed the old nature, has it died? If we keep wanting our way, say, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but that won't hurt you. Those are just rules that the church made up. That won't hurt you. For we know that the old self was, what? Verse 6. Was crucified. Was it, or is it still in charge? The choice is yours. Whether self-will is still in charge, or whether Jesus is in charge. Jesus said to the Pharisees, or to some of his disciples that were following him, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be kept alive, done away with, that we should no longer be independent and free. Is that what it says? What does it say? We should no longer be slaves of sin. People say, well, I'm not a slave, I'm doing what I want to do. And so what does that prove? That by choice they're a slave. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And does it mean that once we're baptized, we'll never sin again? No, it means that we're freed from the control of sin. It's a little bit like the story of a pickpocket. You ever make your living as a pickpocket? I hope not. But the pickpocket who gives his life to Jesus and his heart has changed and he sees in God's law that it's not right to steal. And now God has put his law in his heart, and so he wants to do God's will, and he decides he's not going to go out to the mall and use the five-finger discount anymore. But as he's walking through the crowd, there's a guy's wallet kind of sticking halfway out of his hip pocket, and the urge overcomes him, his old habits, and he lifts the load from the fellow in front of him, takes his wallet, and now when he gets home, what's he going to do? If he has the new nature, what is he going to do? He's going to call the man and return everything that he took. Now, actually, in Leviticus, if you stole or embezzled from someone, yes, you have to give back the principal. You have to give back what you took, plus 20%. So the Lord gave a lot of incentive to not do it again. First, you have to go and make it right with the person. And then you have to give them 20% interest. And then you have to take a lamb and kill it. Well, now we trust in the real lamb, because that's what they were supposed to do then, right? But they were to offer the lamb, showing that they trusted in the lamb that was coming. We live that new life. Will we ever fall? Yeah. But what do we do when we fall? In 1 John it says, we have an advocate with the Father who speaks in our defense. But we are to repent of our sin and make it right. So, as a new believer, it doesn't mean we're never going to fall again. It means that we're not going to pursue that way of making a living anymore. We're no longer going to be pickpockets, or we're no longer going to do whatever it was. But if we fail, we go to Jesus, we ask him to forgive us, we make it right with a person if we have injured them. And now, verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for a few, once for all. But the life he lives to God. Another place he says, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. It's not by my efforts. It's not by trying to make myself good. But by walking with Jesus, the life I live by faith in the Son of God. That's what baptism means. One more text. Romans chapter 12. The first two verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's no longer excusing what we do by saying, oh, that doesn't matter. That's not a big deal. But we have a new mind and a new heart. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So no longer do we do it our way, but we do it His way. That's what it means to serve Jesus, for Him to be our master. Our time is gone. We're going to have a long service today, so that's all right. Just relax. The scripture reading that Will read is the text about husbands and wives and the relationship. And Paul uses that as an illustration of our union to Christ. And we have some who are going to take their wedding vows this morning to unite with Jesus. Now, when you unite with Jesus, are you only united to His head? Are the fingers attached to the head? What are they attached to? The body. And what's the body? It's the church. So in uniting to Christ, they're uniting with His church, which is His body. And they're taking their vows this morning to unite with Jesus and His body, to be a part of His church. So if we could get the baptismal candidates to come up, and we will review these vows just briefly. And you can see their statement of faith, their commitment, and then we'll prepare for the baptism. Okay. These are our, shall I say, our first fruits. We have a number more to come in, was it Martel, the third Sabbath of June? All right. So we're going to have a baptism in the lake, and some people are telling us, is the water still going to be cold? I'm not worried about that. But maybe some of you will be, I don't know. But I know that the Lord will be with us through it because we're committing our life to Jesus.
You don't have to put your head under.
No, I get to put your head under. Okay. We have the statement of vows. We have baptismal certificates for them here, and we're going to review through a few of these vows. As a church family, basically these are the vows that you committed to. And we only briefly go through them, and they're a summary of what's inside this. And if you have questions or doubts about what all this is about, I would encourage you to join Brian's class at Sabbath School, Sabbath morning, where we go, where he's taking the group through the teachings of the faith and renew and review and relearn if you need to. It'll be a good experience for you. Okay. Do you believe in the three persons of the Godhead?
Yep.
Okay. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and as your Master?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you in heart turned away from the sin and the allurements of the world?
Yes.
Do you believe the Bible as God's inspired word?
Yes.
Have you accepted the Ten Commandments as a transcript of God's character?
Yes.
And believe that the seventh-day Sabbath is one of His commandments?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe in the soon coming of Jesus? So do you want to be ready to meet Him?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is God's organized church for today?
Yes.
Is it your plan to live in harmony with the teachings as taught to you in the Adventist Church?
Yes.
Okay. You have heard their statement of faith. Dan and Joyce, I guess, actually have membership. They're not sure exactly what the condition of the church is in Texas, and we'll have to deal with the paperwork, whether they have to transfer or what, but we can accept them subject to taking care of the paperwork and today in their baptism. And Vince is joining us new. He had the joy of coming to the meetings and hearing it. It was a wonderful experience to watch Vince as he came night after night. So, because these three have committed themselves to follow Jesus and the truths that they have found, what is your pleasure? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's carried. Thank you. Now, we'll go out this way and get the ropes, and then we'll go down.
Just one thing.
Sure.
I have to say, this has really been the hardest week of my life. It really has. Since I decided to get baptized again, and I was on fire, and I probably failed more in the past 2 weeks than I have in a long time to fail my God. And, you know, it's been real hard to the point I called my wife yesterday morning, and I decided that I just wasn't worthy to get baptized. I just don't think I can do it. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just when you pray today, pray for me. And the day went on, walking around, and I finally went home and sat down on the couch, and everybody went outside for a little bit, and she took me by the hand and she prayed. And I seemed to know that everything was going to be all right. And I was, and then my friends started coming over. Pastor came over and I shared with him, and I really thought the Lord was fighting me, and it wasn't. It was the devil. He didn't want me. He tried everything he could to stop this today. I know he did. But he failed. And I know when I get back there in that water and I go down, the old Dan stays there. And I'm really looking forward to this more than, and I recommend to everybody to get baptized, go to the baptismal class. I've been baptized before, never went through the class. We went out on the road. I had never done any deep study. I just thought I knew everything, and on my way I went. And I kind of had to learn things the hard way. And finally God settled me down, and I met some real good friends, and they've helped me along the way. And I just praise God because I know this is it. And my son, thank you. You blessed me today. You did.
Well, Dan, it's not because we're worthy that any of us are here. It's because He is worthy. And we accept Him. And then He does the work.
Yeah.
We cooperate, but He does the work.
That's right. I believe that.
Okay. Okay, we'll go out here and get ready, and Vanessa's going to lead in some songs, and we will... You can enjoy some singing while we're getting ready. Okay, if I can get the three of you to kind of kneel down here in the middle, and the elders and I will kneel around you here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to us, your patience and your goodness. Thank you for your work in these three lives. And Father, because they have committed themselves to you, we follow the example of Paul, and we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit upon these three candidates. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust that you will fill them with your Spirit to give them power in their own life and power to be your witnesses and to be faithful till Jesus comes. Bless them as they become a part of the church, as they join with us in taking this message to others around. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.